Well, good Sunday morning to you, and welcome back to Financing Your Future. This is John Schaaf, Senior Vice President Investments of the Schaaf Tally Investment Group of Raymond James. And of course, you know where we're located. We're located in the beautiful Bellevue Park Corporate Center. Address is 200 Bellevue Parkway, that's Suite 425, here in Wilmington, Delaware, at 19809. And of course, our local phone number is 302-798-9113. And if you're out of the area, our, as I used to call it, Watts line number is 800-225-8043. So welcome back this morning. I hope you, as I always say, are on the way to church or to your house of worship this morning, or perhaps you've already been, because I know some of you are early risers and you like to catch that, the early service. So I'm hoping that you're on the way home then, and you've had an opportunity to listen this morning, and I appreciate that. And so, again, today's the Lord's Day. This is a day when you should take some time and be with your family, go to your house of worship, have lunch or perhaps, and with the folks, and then maybe even take a siesta, because, you know, that's one of my favorite things, just except for when it's a 1 o'clock football game like we had last weekend, which was a great game. And so those are the cases when we have to make exceptions. So. But anyway, good to have you with us this morning. And again, thank you for joining us. I've got, as I said, I've got a special fellow with me this morning. But before I get to that, I do want to say, remind us, you know, this past week we did celebrate or remember. That's not the right words. We did remember September 11th and the impact it had on our country. And, of course, how the country came together over that. And we were talking before the program started this morning, just where we were at that particular time. And I remember exactly where I was at. And I bet every one of you can remember exactly where you were at when that happened. So again, hopefully you took time this week to pause and remember that event. And Lord willing, we'll never have that happen again. But those things do happen around other countries way too much. And so we're thankful that we have the country that we live in, that we've been spared a lot of that type of terrorist activity. So this morning, before I get started, I do want to go back, and I did have a comment come to me this week, thankfully, from a listener that was asking me about some questions on the program last week about getting a copy of it, and so I've got a copy coming to her. But the question she also reminded me over the comment she made was that a lot of the things that we talked about last week for helping women, or specifically women, go through a loss of a spouse also applies in a divorce situation. And so I feel bad I didn't bring that up. So I'm probably going to take some time in the next couple of weeks or so to maybe review some things that might be a little bit more aligned to helping somebody that's going through a divorce, specifically a woman. And so I appreciate that input. And, of course, anytime you would like to have a copy of this, anything we talk about on the program, you can always call the office at 302-798-9113. And you can always talk to Susan or Joe if I'm not available, and we'll be glad to get that out to you. Just give us a call and give us your name, address, or if you prefer email, we can do that too. And, of course, I'd be remiss. Joe would be busting my chops if I didn't remind you. We do have a web page, and it has a pretty good-looking picture on there. I got to tell you, it's unedited, guys. I mean, it's a pretty nice-looking picture of Joe and myself on the front there. So go take a look at it. It's www.schaaftally.com. So it's www.schaaftally.com. A lot of information on there. Some history about us as a group and a little bio of each one of us. And, of course, there's lots of information and lots of resources to take a look at. And we do have a Facebook page. We have limited abilities with that, but we have to have that. There's reasons. So there is some updates there. Joe puts a lot of updates on that thing pretty frequently. So I would encourage you to take a look at that and like us if you would. And thumbs up, I guess, is the right word to say on that. And, of course, I need to remind you that Raymond James is a member of the New York Stock Exchange, SIPC. And I also must remind you that the comments on this program are the views of my other. Let me try that again. Just a reminder that the views on this program are those of John Schaaf and not necessarily the views of Raymond James. All right. And I'm telling you, and also my guest speaker may not be his views either, even though we have some things in common. So let's get started. So I'd like to take a minute and introduce my special guest I have. His name is Tony Graffanino. Welcome, Tony.
Thank you.
It's good to have you here. I've known Tony for, been a few years, hasn't it?
It's been a long time.
Almost
20 years. 18 at least.
Gosh, I remember when your kids were so little tiny guy folks, and now they're big boys. And so those are exciting times. Well, Tony, I know you, I'm bringing you here like I've brought several folks here in the past. I like to bring folks with that have commitment to the Lord and the community like you do, and also like, Rob Presowitz, who's the executive director at Urban Promise that we've had on the program. Also, the Pennsylvania House of Representative John Lawrence has been on the program. So I appreciate guys like you and your commitment and the sacrifice you guys make. And so I wanted to bring you on this morning because there's a lot of exciting things going on in your life, I know. And we don't have, 2 days to talk about it. Mm-hmm. So we have to kind of pick and choose. So let's kind of tell me a little bit about yourself, maybe, before we get started. One thing I got to ask you first. We Google everything this day. So I Googled you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And your name, you changed your name when you went into professional baseball.
Yeah, that was the doing of my father. My name has a letter in it. They would get mispronounced often.
Right, right.
And so it was easier. The letter was silent, so it was easier to just remove
just
it,
to remove it
to make it simple. But it didn't seem to help. My name continues to be mispronounced.
Well, Italian by background.
Yes,
I see New York,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, tell us about you.
Yeah, born and raised in New York. Started playing professional baseball out of high school when I was 18 years old. Met my wife while I was a minor leaguer. So Nicole's her name. She's from Delaware, Newcastle. And met her in 93. We were married in 95. Had our first son in 97. AJ is his name.
Yep, yep.
And he's currently playing professional baseball in the Atlanta Braves organization.
I still can't get over that. I can still be going on youth trips with him. I can't believe it.
But our youngest, Nick, is he's 19. He'll be 20 in December, and he's going to college at Grand Canyon University in Phoenix, Arizona.
Still Arizona out there. He likes that country out there, doesn't he?
He does. We moved out there over 8 years ago. He started sixth grade, middle school, and so that is home for him.
Right.
For AJ and Nicole and myself, this is home. But we have the opportunity to split time now. We're 6 months living in Arizona, so October through March.
Yeah.
And 6 months here in Delaware, April through September.
Ooh, you just retired early. That's all.
Yeah, but still working. So got the snowbird thing going, but working at the same time.
Wow, that's great. That's great. Well, I got to ask you, I know you've played baseball all these years and you have a great love for baseball, but what do you do for fun, for things besides that?
I golf, which can be fun and frustrating at the same time.
Yeah.
So I enjoy that. One of my passions is fly fishing. I love to fly fish. I'm actually have a work trip, which is a fly fishing trip coming up this coming week.
Okay.
And so I'll be in a little bit of God's country doing something I love.
Well, fishing's awesome. I don't have the time. I've always loved fishing since I was a little fellow. My grandfather taught me to fish, and so I've been fishing all my life, but I just haven't taken the time. So hopefully, Lord willing, I'll have time to do a little bit more fishing as I get older.
Nice.
Well, you told us a little bit about tell me a little bit about your baseball career.
Okay. I was drafted out of high school, like I said, by the Atlanta Braves. Played with them through the minors, made it to the big leagues with them in 1996. Played with them until 99. I got released and signed with Tampa Bay. So I played in the Tampa Bay Rays organization for a little bit. In 2000, I got traded to the White Sox.
Yep.
And so I played with them from 2000 through 2003.
Okay.
2004, 2005, and 2006, I was with the Kansas City Royals, signed over there as a free agent. But ironically, in 2005 and also in 2006, they traded me. So they traded me in 2005 to the Red Sox, at the end of spring training the next year, I was released. They claimed me back. And so I was with them until they traded me to the Brewers.
Okay.
And then I finished my career with the Cleveland Indians. The last season I played was in 2009.
Well, that's got to be kind of crazy. I mean, for folks like myself, and you too probably, but when we work, you work, and then for whatever amount of years it might be, and you pretty well expect to work, you know, until you either leave for own reasons or you know, sometimes economic reasons force companies to lay people off. But as a professional baseball player, that's got to be kind of tough on you to be able to work for a contract, I guess is what it is, basically, right?
Yeah.
And then when that contract is up, plus that, even if you have a contract, that doesn't really mean that you could actually, I mean, you could still be traded under contract.
Yeah, some guys are fortunate they get no trade clauses and whatnot. But, you know, the longest contract I ever had was 2 years.
Wow.
And didn't really know if I would finish that out or get traded. And I was traded midseason. I was had to move around at the end of spring trainings at times. So it was an interesting life. I mean, there's no complaints.
Yeah.
You know, no complaints whatsoever. It was good, difficult, you know, time away from my wife, the kids, you know, things like that. Missed some special moments, but everybody has to make sacrifices, for their job. You know, those were some of the ones I had to make. And as an athlete, you don't know how long your career is going to last, you know.
So that's true.
20 years and others is, you know, three. And so you just try to maximize it while you have it.
Yeah. Well, you bring a real good point to the table. I mean, I especially with when you're watching sports, like I'm not an avid sports person, but I do enjoy watching, you know, football and baseball. Like I was watching the Phillies this week and pulling for them against the Braves, by the way. But the fact is you can see, you know, get hit with a ball. You get I saw one fellow twist an ankle or something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, injuries are so critical to the game today.
Yeah, I've had a number of shoulder. I had three operations on my right knee, tore my ACL twice. The second time I did it, wasn't sure if I was actually going to be able to come back and play. You just don't know. You don't know how long the career is going to last, and so you just try to maximize and enjoy it while you have it.
Well, down south, we used to say, you make hay while the sun shines. That's really like, I'm oversimplifying. I know there's a big commitment in that, and there's a lot behind that. And so that was a good time in your life, and now you're on to a new phase, right?
That's right, yeah. So I was blessed. Really, to have within baseball, there's an organization called Baseball Chapel. It's a non-denominational Christian organization that does chapel services on Sundays because it's hard to get to church as a baseball player. And one of the chaplains that I had in Chicago for, you know, the 3.5 years started a ministry called Unlimited Potential Incorporated.
Okay.
He was a huge influence in my life and a mentor. And when I got done playing baseball, I transitioned into working, you know, with him and for him in that organization.
So now how long have you been with those guys now?
Yeah, I've been there over 8 years now, almost nine. Yeah,
right?
I'm on my ninth year working for them. And the organization is called Unlimited Potential Incorporated. We go by UPI. And we're all former professional baseball players, and we minister back to the professional baseball community, from the big leagues all the way down to the lowest levels of the minor leagues.
Well, and you actually are involved with the Blue Rocks right now, right?
Yeah, so part of what we do is also volunteer as chaplains to the teams that we're close to. And so this year, being back here in Delaware for the season, it was and a good opportunity for me to become the chaplain for the Blue Rocks and really unique situation as well. Again, because I'm a former player, I already knew some of the coaches, and I would go down on Sundays for chapel and another day during the week for a Bible study, but I'd go another day or two to hang out. Yeah. I throw BP and was able to, you know, hit a fungo if they needed me to. So it was just a really good time for me to, you know, build relationship with the guys, and I get my baseball fix while I'm down there.
You know, it's my little coaching. Cool. That's right. You kind of get a chance to instill in your blood.
That's right.
So you
that's
can
right.
still pretend a little bit, you know. It's
yeah, we leave the game, great. But the game doesn't leave us. So I love that aspect of what I do. We do other things in spring training. We have large Bible studies for all the couples and anybody associated with baseball out in Arizona. We do one-on-one stuff, mentoring and discipleship things with guys if they want it. And one of the most fun things I think that we do is we take current or former professional players on missions trips, and we go to other countries and we teach baseball for free. So we either do a camp or clinics all over, And these guys share their faith, their testimonies. We talk about the gospel, and it's just a really neat neat time.
Kind of walk me through what a typical camp-like setting would be in, what would be a country recently that you could say?
Yeah, well, back in April, I was in Italy. So Northeast Italy, we actually run a spring training type of camp for a bunch of German players that come down.
Now, I got to interrupt you for a minute here. We're talking Italians and Germans.
I know.
And folks, we know Italians and folks, Italians and Germans, look, when you say ball, it's not baseball.
It's a soccer ball
or foosball, as they call it there. How in the world do you get them to come over to the American way of a baseball?
You know, I think the soldiers over there had a huge influence teaching baseball, at least to the Germans. It's not a natural sport for them. They don't start like our kids here in the U.S. at, you know, 4 or 5 and T-ball. It's a, I think it's a default sport. They they go to it once they realize they're not good enough at soccer. they transition over to this other one. But it's fun for us. You know, we'll get about 60 players to come over.
Okay.
And, you know, we all stay at the same hotel, and we'll eat breakfast with them. We go to the field. We spend about, you know, 8 hours on the field with them, morning into the afternoon. Drills and games and what have you. And then at night, you know, we'll do Bible studies at the hotel, and it's optional if players want to come or not. Eat dinner, just, you know, spend a lot of time. Other countries we go to, we'll do clinics. So we'll drive to certain areas. We'll partner with churches, pastors in their towns, and they organize clinics. And, like, I'm going to Puerto Rico in a month and a half. And I'm bringing 4 other players with me. And so we'll do clinics for 100, you know, 200 kids.
I would bet Puerto Rico would be pretty hot for you. I mean, not temperature-wise, but I would say there's a great interest, I would think.
They love their baseball. They love their baseball. And so I go with a larger team there, and we put on a really good clinic for 2 hours or so. But part of it for us is the guys that we're bringing with them, you know, with us, that we want to train them to be able to share their faith, you know, communicate the gospel, and have a confidence that when they go back home or back to their teams, they can begin to become a difference maker, you know, for God, really.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So that's what I really enjoy about it.
Well, that's amazing. I mean, that's me and my simple little mind thinking about just domestically, as we would say in our business, we call it domesticate, you know, domestic U.S. only.
Right.
But you're impacting not just here, but around the world with a sport, which, again, even going into countries like it, or with Italians or Germans, because I'm an Army brat.
Yeah.
So I spent a couple of years with my parents in Germany, and we were playing baseball, Little League. Yeah, we actually had a Little League, but there was only like one team per city. So you travel around. But the Germans would always want us to come and play soccer, or foosball, as they called it, and they just beat the socks off of us. We just couldn't get. They were so good. Here we teach baseball right from an early stage in schools and so forth, neighborhoods and sandlot ball, and over there it's soccer from right away.
That's right.
So it is a cultural change. And it's amazing, but there's more impact, more good being done than just baseball. It's the Lord's work that you're doing over there. That's, again, planting the seeds for others to follow, and, you know, making those relationships overseas through your being your baseball career that you came from.
Yeah, that's what we. I even think about it that way as well. I enjoyed my baseball career, but I really feel like it was something that God used to prepare me for this stage of my life, working for UPI, and then using the game that I played to go to other countries, you know, and talk about him, talk about his love, talk about what Jesus has done for us. So that's what gets me excited. And then, again, the opportunity, even in here in the States, still be involved professionally with baseball and involved with the teams and the players. It's a really good job. I love doing it. Me personally, I've been to, I want to say, 7 different countries, but our organization, our ministry organization, has been to over 60. Every year we'll go to about 12 different countries. You know, we repeat some year after year, but overall, like I said, we've been to over 60.
So any particular area you like better than another? I mean, without, you know.
It's hard for me not to vote for Italy right away, because being Italian.
I mean, the food's probably pretty good over there.
It's very, very good, yeah. But But I love Germany. I've been to Ireland. I've been to Mexico, Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico, Cuba, Ireland. Right. I mean, I've been to a bunch of different countries, and I've enjoyed all of them. I enjoy getting involved and kind of immersed in their culture. Mm-hmm. I love staying with local people, eating their food, and just living as they do. I really enjoy that.
Well, maybe I should start playing ball because mm-hmm. my body's not cooperating with my eating. So yours is much better shape than mine is. But I did watch a couple of those ball players last night the night before last night on the Phillies. I think I could qualify.
You think so?
Of course, I would never see a baseball at the speeds that they throw.
Right.
How in the world? I won't get into that. I'll just. Sidetracked here from that. So you had this impacts your family, this decision to do this kind of stuff. How does the family handle this?
Yeah, it was, with my baseball career, like I said earlier, I was never in one spot really for more than, or didn't know I was going to be in one spot for maybe more than 2 years. A 2 year deal was the longest I ever had. And again, that was no guarantee. And so we had set up Delaware as our home base, owned a home here. Again, my wife was from here, so it was very natural for us to be here.
So her family was mm-hmm. here to support. Okay,
that's right. Okay. That's right. So when I would leave, you know, she did. She had friends, family that would help her with everything. When I got done playing, or as the end was approaching, she had visions. We had visions of what post baseball life was going to look like, and it was here in Delaware, and it was, who knows, going to the beach, and I don't know.
Right.
But then reality set in, and we're created to work, and
that's right.
I wanted to work, and I wanted to work for this organization and do this job. And then they asked us if we'd be willing to move to Arizona, and so that was a tough one, uprooting and kind of changing those plans that we had set. And it wasn't very easy, you know, the first year or two out there. Arizona is beautiful. But it's not the Northeast. It's very different.
Yeah, it's completely different.
So we felt very foreign there. Nice people, but again, it wasn't the friends and family that we've had for 20 years here. Right. And so it was a difficult 2 years in the beginning. Like I said, we've been there for 8. My wife went kicking and screaming, I'd say. The boys were probably the same. But again, my son Nick, who started sixth grade out there, middle school, that's become home for him. And then my oldest, you know, I think he still considers Delaware to be his home, but it was a tough transition. It really was. But we both felt like this is what God wanted from us. We were praying about it. The pastor at Sycamore Hill, John Belay, was preaching through a sermon series on Abraham and how he had a movable tent, but permanent altars. And that was a loud, we have to not be so set on where we live. We have to be free and ready to move wherever God wants us to go. And so, we did.
And you were faithful to follow through?
Yes, and it's been a huge blessing. Like I said, even through the difficulties, we've seen God work and do amazing things. And both myself and my wife would say we needed to go out there. God had things in store for us out there. It was necessary. But now we're happy to kind of have this opportunity to be back here for 6 months. The good months.
Yeah, that's right. You're here for the good months, right. That's right.
We're not shoveling snow anymore.
Well, it's not so bad. That kind of keeps you toned.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then this extra layer I've got keeps me warm while I'm out there shoveling
that's
snow.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Well, I know that we've had a relationship at church. That's where we met, and again, it's good to have you come back and be part of the church family, and you and your family, for that matter.
Well, thank you.
And so I was glad to see that happen. Yeah. So the Lord brought you back, and there's other things that I know that He's got on His plate for you to do going forward. But I have a question for you. It's kind of odd. You actually retired from baseball at a very early age, and that's what we do. You know, we help people plan for retirement and other types of things. But it's an unusual situation when you're young like that, because just what you just said, I'm just speculating. I'm let you finish the story. But as a younger person, anytime you make a transition going through retirement or changing careers, I guess is a good way to say that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a kind of a difficult task to go through. So when you first retired and paused, what were some of your feelings or some of your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I struggled. I thought I was prepared to leave the game of baseball. Part of it was the injuries added up.
Okay.
I wasn't physically really able to do what my mind
was telling me to do.
Right,
right.
And so I realized, okay, the end is coming pretty quickly here. And then when I did finally play my last season, you know, I share the story a lot, but I went into the off season like I normally do and take a month off and rest and eat and just
do whatever. Yeah.
And then usually there was a day circled on the calendar where it was time to get serious again, start my training and get my diet in order and whatnot. And that year I didn't have to do that. There was no circled. And I thought, oh, this is great.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then a week went by of that and I was laying on the couch in a mini depression thinking, what am I going to do with my life?
Right.
You know, who am I really? Because my, you know, again, as you play a professional sport for a living, that for most guys has been something they've done since they were a boy.
Yeah.
And most of us, if we made it to that level, we're good at a young age.
Yeah.
And so we've been very, you know, known for or referred to as the ball player, the baseball player.
Right.
You know, and so I struggled leaving the game. It was very difficult for me to transition out.
Yeah.
But I'm thankful that I had UPI as something to transition into.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, fulfill my real purpose, which I feel like is sharing faith about Jesus. So.
Well, your second career is continuing on to your permanent career with the Lord, right?
That's right.
Well,
that's right.
It's so good to have you with us.
Oh, thanks for having
me. Thank you very much for being here. I see that we've got the signal from Jim that's going to cut us off here, so we got to stop. So, Jim, thank you for your assistance again this morning. And before I leave today, I would like to leave you with a thought, as I always do. And here, this one is by Eleanor Roosevelt. And she says, yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, today is a gift. That's why it's called the present. So until we meet again, this has been John Schaaf for Financing Your Future.